Okay, good evening, everyone. What I'd like to discuss tonight is halacha, which is extremely pertinent in Hilchos Brachos, and that is the halachos of shinui makom, of a person who recites a bracha on a food and then changes his location. Under what circumstances that would require him to recite a new bracha rishona, and when would it not? So let me just begin by saying that when it comes to a bracha rishona, if a person makes a bracha rishona on a particular food item, or if he makes it on one food item and has in mind other items as well, and they're all included, he's able to eat them under the same bracha. So there is no time limit to the validity and to the effect of the bracha. It's not like a bracha achrona. When you eat a shear of food and you need to recite a bracha achrona, so then there's a time limit. The clock is ticking. You have to make sure to do it within what's called shear ichel, before the food is digested in your system. And if you wait too long, then you lost the opportunity to make the bracha achrona, whether it's benching or whether it's brei nefashos, whatever it is, there's a time limit. But the bracha rishona, there's no time limit. Theoretically, you can make a bracha rishona in the morning on something, and have in mind that this should cover other foods of the same bracha, foods or drinks, and then you could keep eating and drinking throughout the day, technically, without making a new bracha, with the time not being a factor, unless there are certain other factors that cancel and that are mafsik, the validity of the bracha rishona. For example, hesach hadas. If a person decides absolutely he's not having anything more to eat, or he makes a bracha achrona, that cuts off the bracha rishona, or there are a few limited factors that could affect the bracha rishona, and one of them is shinui makom as well, a certain type of change of location that would break the effect and stop the validity of the bracha rishona, whether on the food you were eating, the very same food, or on other food that was going to be covered with this. Shinui makom will sometimes break the validity of that bracha, and that's what we want to discuss. Now, I just want to clarify, I want to say that otherwise, as long as you're not mesiach das, and you don't do a shinui makom, you could theoretically just make one bracha rishona and then keep going for a long time. The thing is, though, that if you, as I said, when it comes to bracha achrona, there is a time limit. So if you ate enough or drank enough that you're chayv in a bracha achrona, then you would still have to be careful not to allow enough time to pass without making a bracha achrona, or without continuing. I mean, if you continue to eat, just continue within a short amount of time, then the clock, the bracha achrona clock, never starts. But if you pour, if you break for a long enough time, then the clock starts ticking for bracha achrona, which on food is one shear. On drinks, it's even, according to many, even a much shorter shear. So it's not always so practical. You know, people ask, they go to their office and they drink in the morning and they want to keep drinking and drinking and drinking. So if you keep drinking, within every few minutes you're drinking more, then you don't have a problem as long as you don't get into shinui makom. But if you do, sometimes you get involved in your work, or you get in a phone conversation, or you know, party, or whatever it is, and you end up that there's a significant break of time. So even though your bracha rishon is still valid, but now you may have lost out the opportunity to make a bracha achron on the food you already ate or what you already drank. So you do have to be careful about that.
Okay, can you, let's say that you're drinking all day, you're drinking water in the office, and you let a lot of time pass, and you want to do bracha harona, can you drink a rebit of water, so you might be forced to say beraha?
Yeah, you wouldn't be forced, but yeah, the eitz, if you're afraid that you're going to, that there's going to be enough of a break, then you should do that. You should make sure to drink enough to make a bracha achrona, then make a bracha achrona, and then wait, and don't start again right away, and taka let some time go, but let a half hour pass or something like that. So if you're not drinking mamish back to back, and you have significant gaps, then that's the right thing to do. Okay, but as I said, that was just sort of just a little background clarity. But the topic now is shinui makom. When does a shinui makom end the effect of your bracha rishona? So the points that we have to discuss, first of all, what type of shinui? Meaning, Is it only if you go into another house, or is it if you, or what about if you go into the street? What if you go from one room to another in your own house? What if you go from one apartment to another in an apartment building? Or what happens within the same room? So you're in a very big room and you go from one end to the other. Which of these are shinui makom that end your bracha, and which are not? That's one point that has to be clarified. A second point is this true? Does shinui makom affect no matter what you're eating? Or does it make a difference what it is you're eating? And we'll see, it does make a difference what it is you're eating, so we'll have to discuss the details of that. And another question is, does it make a difference if you had a mind? When you made the bracha Rishon originally, I intended to leave and go elsewhere. Does that help? Would that overcome the problem of Shini Makom and say, since I had a mind, so leave my Shana Makom, my bracha still works, or does that not help? And then there's another point we have to discuss of is this, if you're, does it make a difference whether you're eating by yourself or you're eating with other people? To what extent, or to what will it make a difference that you're, if you're eating with other people? And then the final area perhaps is, what about someone who's traveling? He's on the road, and is what is his din legabi shinui makom? Okay, so let's first talk about which foods are subject altogether to those of bracha achrona. Now, and I should just make one more point of clarification: these halachas differ actually greatly between the psak of the mechaber and the psak of the Ramah. This is all in Simin, or almost all in Simin Kuf Ayin Ches, in the Orech Haim Simin Kuf Ayin Ches. And what we're going to be saying, the way we're going to say the halacha is primarily like the psak of the Ramah. The Mechaber has, certain Rishonim has a different mahalach here. But the mahalach of the Ramah is, first of all, that the din of Shini Makom only impacts a bracha Rishonah, which means there's no, Shini Makom will never cause you or force you to make a bracha achrona, as we'll see. Okay, but in terms of which foods are subject to the laws of Shini Makom, so the rule is any food where the din is that the bracha achrona for that food has to be made where you ate, and as you ate here, you have to make a bracha achrona here, then it's not subject to the laws of Shini Makom, which means, let's just take the extreme example, bread. The halacha is if you eat bread here, you have to bench here. You have to bench Birchas HaMazon in the place that you ate. So if you ate here, and then you're finished eating, and you got up, you ate at home, and you finished eating, and you left your house, you forgot to bench, or you whatever reason you didn't bench, you left your house, and you realize you get to the kolel, you get wherever it is, you realize that you didn't bench, so the halacha is, you're supposed to go back to where you ate and bench there. The only other option, in a lechatchila sense, would be if you eat some more bread in a second location, then you could bench in that location. But you can't eat in one location and go elsewhere, eat nothing there or no bread there, and bench there.
Do you have to netilat yadayim again and bless again if you're going to eat in a new location?
Well, that would depend on how much of a hefsek there was. If you plan to eat there, or if you had absolutely no intention of eating there. Let's say you plan on the benching, and you in your first place, and you even took the bench, this and that. Then all of a sudden you got distracted. Someone said, and by the time you said, "Oh, I got to run," and you forgot to bench, you had no intention of eating again, right? So then, of course, you would have to. Yes, you'd have to wash, and you'd have to you'd have to wash, and in that case you'd have to make a bracha because of hesach hadas. But the point is, but the shinui makom does not require a new bracha rishona on a food where the bracha achrona has to be mekoma. The idea being, in other words, bread. If you sat down and started eating a bread meal and you ate already at least one kezayis within kedechelis pras, so you're chayiv to bench now, and you're chayiv to bench over here, or go elsewhere and continue eating there. Those are your only two choices. So memela, when you're mishana makom, even if you leave without benching, it's not called it doesn't break the validity of your bracha rishona, because you're forced to either come back to where you are or continue eating there. You can't just go there and not eat anymore. You can't. You have your mechuyav al pi din either to eat there, which means you're continuing your suda, or come back here. So memela, your bracha rishon is not considered to have been broken because you're drawn back. I said you're either drawn back to the place where you made the bracha rishon, or you're forced to eat some more bread in the place where you went to.
Does it have to be bread?
Again. No, well, wait a second. In order to bench in the second place, it has to be bread. That's
right. Let's say Friday night you have a Shabbos meal, and then there's a Shalom Zachar. So you leave and you go to have some food over there, you know, things over there, and then but you're going to come back and you can continue your meal at your house, okay, and then bench there.
Okay, so then your bracha in your house is still valid. You do not, the Shinui Makom does not break your bracha rishon that you made in your house because you were mechuyev to come back or to eat bread there. You couldn't stop eating.
I was thinking if you have mezonos in another place and you had a continuation of your meal, but that's what I was thinking.
And therefore what? What are you asking?
So I'm continuing to eat my meal.
So therefore what?
I can't go back to the place I made a mozi in my house, and then I went to work, but work's very far away.
You're supposed to eat bread in order to bench. So you have to eat bread. I'm not getting to now cases where it's extremely shasachak or whatever. That again, that's not the top for now right now. But this, what I'm saying is, therefore, a bracha hamotzi on bread, once you ate a kazayis of the bread, that hamotzi is not affected by shinui makom. Okay, because that is the best example of a davar shetom bracha achrona b'makoma. Okay, so now normally, anyway, you're not supposed to leave your location without benching, unless you're leaving for, because you might forget to bench, or you may forget to bench till it's too late to bench. So you're supposed to always bench before you leave, but two exceptions would be if you're really leaving for a very short time, you need let's say you're in the middle of a meal and your wife calls you from the phone, she's outside, she needs help bringing packages in from the car or something, she's parked in the street. So you're going, yeah, mom, you're not spending any time out there, you're just going out and can come right back in. So then that would be a case you'd be allowed to leave even without benching, and your bracha rishona would not be affected by the fact that you left the house, even though you left the house and went into the street. Or even if a neighbor called you from the house across the street and he needed help, mom is just, you know, if you're in the middle of eating and he's help just right, and he says, I was trying to carry something and something's falling. Mom is standing here holding. Could you come over and help me? I just need someone else to hold it so it doesn't fall and smash. So you run over there and help a manas to come right back. Then you could leave without benching. And when you come back, you could continue eating without making a new bracha rishona. Because the shinui makom does not end your hamotzi, since you're eating bread, which you have to make a bracha achrona b'mkoma. What about things where the bracha achrona is me'ein shalosh, such as cake or of peiros from Eretz Yisrael, grapes, figs, you know, eating raisins, these types, or drinking wine. So there are three opinions brought in Shulchan Aruch as to whether or not you must make the bracha achrona where you ate. And again, because if you must, so then there won't be a shaila of shinui makom even eating cake or even eating grapes. If you don't have to make the bracha achrona b'makoma, then shinui makom will apply. So there are three opinions in Shulchan Aruch. According to one opinion, anything that any of the shivas haminim, grain that you make alamichli for, or peiros haaretz, grapes and pomegranates, peiros haaretz that you make main shalosh for, there's no, they require bracha achrona b'makoma, and therefore there would not be shinui makom. According to this, another opinion, it's only by dagon, only by grains, mezonos, some things that you make a mezonos and have to make a lamichya, there the bracha achrona must be mekoma, but the other paris aretz, it does not have to be. And the sheet of the Rama is that anything, even anything besides bread, does not require the bracha achrona mekoma. Here. Yeah. So it comes out, as far as whether or not you should make the bracha achrona on cake and other things like that where you ate, avadi you should. But what about the gabi the other din? Let's say I did leave my house, and I left my house. Let's give the again. Somebody called me from across the street. He needs help with something. I'm in the middle of eating cake at home. Cake or noodles, things that require an alamichya. And he calls me and says, could you come over, mamish, right now? I need you to help with something. And I go, but I want to come back and continue eating. So now I have a shaila. I came back. And I'll make the bracha achron eventually here. But now, do I need to make another bracha rishonu or not? If the din is the bracha achrona must be made here, then I don't. Then the bracha rishonu is not lost. I can continue eating on the same bracha rishonu. But if the din is like the Ramah, for example, if the din is that the bracha achrona doesn't have to be made b'mekoma for these types of foods, then by leaving and going to someone else's house, my bracha rishonu is gone. And when I come back now, I have to make a new bracha rishonu. So, right, so that is the shayla. How do we paskin on this thing, on this din? So the Magen Avraham paskins, and other achronim, that we're noheg, that, like the opinion that all things that require, all this shiva saminim, require bracha achronim b'mekoma. Right, which is a chumrah that you must make the bracha mekoma, but it'll come out now a kula that you don't have to worry about a new bracha rishona. You went across the street to his house, come back to your house, and you can continue eating. You were eating grapes, just continue eating the grapes. Don't make a new bracha rishona. You're eating cake, continue eating the cake. The gra, however, paskins note like that only applies to things like cake, only to grain foods, but not to the other shivas haminim. And we saw the opinion of the Ramah is that it doesn't apply to any of it. So since it's a machlokas, one should be very careful not to do this. Even if your friend calls you from across the street, unless he's mamish, you know, he says, I need you to run over the second, it's an emergency. But otherwise, if you're eating cake or you're eating whatever it is, now, and we're talking, you already ate a kazayis, right? If you didn't eat a kazayis, then you have no chiyah bracha achrona altogether. Then, of course, when you leave and go to his house, of course you lost your bracha rishona, right? If you just took a small bite of cake, and then somebody calls you, could you come across the street and help me? And then you go to his house, come back, then of course you have to make a new bracha rishona, because there was no chiyav bracha achrona b'makoma, you had no chiyav bracha achrona altogether, you didn't eat a kazayis yet. And like I said, that would even be true by bread. If you just started eating a bread meal, I just started, I took a first bite of bread, I did not eat kazayis, and somebody comes over, could you please come right away? So you go to his house, you come back to your house, then of course you have to make a new bracha rishona, a new hamotzi, because there was no chiyav bracha achrona b'makoma, there's no chiyav bracha achrona altogether. Well, it would depend on how much you got involved and how long. But it pays to wash without a bracha. But it would depend on. But this is concrete. It does. This is for sure that if you did not eat a kazayis yet, the bracha rishona gets lost. As soon as you went to his house across the street, your bracha rishona is lost. You have to make a new bracha rishona. Okay, but since by things like cake, if you did eat a kazayis, cake or grapes or raisins or drinking wine, it's a shaila because it's a machlokas if you need a bracha or koma. So therefore, the poskim Rabbi Yashiv and other poskim Amiyites don't leave without making a bracha achron. Make even if you're in the middle of eating, I ate one piece of cake, which is a kazayis already. I want a second piece of cake. And even after I go to his house and come back, I'm going to still want the second piece of cake. Afal pikein, make the bracha achrona first on the first piece of cake. Yeda kazayis, you drank a ravias wine, make a bracha achrona, then go to his house, come back, and make a new bracha rishona. Now, normally, we don't make a bracha achrona just to facilitate the ability to make a new bracha rishona, right? Because it could be a bracha shen esricha. If you're stam in the middle of eating, and let's say you ate one piece of cake, and you say, you know what? We learned last week I have to make 100 brachas. So I'll make a bracha achrona on the first piece of cake, and then I'll make a new bracha rishona, my new piece of cake. You're not allowed to do that. You can't make a bracha shen tzricha. You can't be gorim extra brachas for that reason. But here you can have a suffix. You need to go across the street to help him. And if I'm going to come back now and want to eat the second piece of cake, it's going to be a suffix. According to the Magen Avraham, I don't need a bracha rishona on this cake. According to the Gra, on the cake I don't, but on the grapes I do. According to the Ramah, on everything I do. So since it's going to be a machlokes, better just make a bracha achrona now. And then and go off and come back. Now, and come back and make a new bracha, and of course make a new bracha rishona. Now, I just want to clarify, the din of shinui makom, that when it requires a new bracha rishona, let's say again, the case where you ate less than a kazayis, right? Less than a kazayis, so you for sure don't have to make a bracha achrona, you don't have to make any bracha. Or let's say you ate foods like bar nefashes foods. You drank milk, you ate cheese and eggs and fish and meat and all that stuff. That for sure does not require bracha achrona b'makoma. The din is you're allowed to make the bracha achrona anywhere. Of course, lechatchila, you shouldn't leave your location without making a bracha achrona normally, because you may forget. But it doesn't require. If you did leave and you remember, oh, I didn't make a bracha achrona, you can just make it wherever you remember right now in the middle of shir. I talked to Jess, I left supper, I forgot to make a bracha achrona, and still within the amount of time. So you can make the bracha achrona right now. You don't have to go back home. So, what?
No
Yeah, burn the fashas. So by foods like that, where shinui makom does apply, it's not just that you made a shinui makom and you want to come back to your first location, you need a bracha rishon in your first location. It's also in the second location, right? Right. Let's say you just sat down and you took, and you're eating whatever it is, fish and like I said, things like that. And somebody calls you over and he says, I need you right now. Could you please come over right now? And you left without making a bracha achrona. If you want to continue eating in his house, you also need a new bracha rishona because you're shinui makom. Right, you left your house to his house, across the street to his house. So that's a shinui makom. So shinui makom requires you to make a new bracha rishona, whether you're eating in the new location or whether you're returning to the original location to eat. Okay, so far we've clarified, hopefully, that shinui makom does not apply by bread once you ate a kazayas, because you're forced to go back to the original place or to eat bread there, so shinui makom doesn't apply. The other extreme, shinui makom definitely does apply when we're talking about bar nefesh's foods, like fish and meat and eggs and cheese and drinks, most drinks. And when it comes to foods in the middle, main shellish foods, so there's a big machlokas. When it comes to cake, many hold shinui makom is not a problem. And some say it's not even a problem on the other Shiva Saminim, but like some Achronim it is, and therefore the best idea is just don't leave without making a bracha achrona, even if you're in the middle of eating and you're eating up, as long as you ate a kazayis already, make a bracha achrona what you ate, go do what you have to, do the shinui makom, and you come back and make a new bracha here. If you didn't, let's say you didn't make a bracha, you forgot, your taka left, you're in the middle of eating cake, and somebody called you, and you went across the street, and you want to continue eating there, and you didn't make a bracha achrona. So lemaisa, post can say you eat there without making a new bracha. Don't make a new bracha. It's a suffix. It's a suffix bracha. Since it's the type of food that might require a bracha achrona b'makoma, which means again either back in your first place or continue eating more of that food in that place. Since it's a suffix, so it's a suffix whether you need a new bracha rishona. So therefore, don't make a new bracha rishona. Continue eating without a new bracha rishona. If you really want to eat over there without a new bracha rishona. Okay, now let me just say, now what about, let's say the case you're eating bread and you had a bread meal and you also had something during the meal though which required its own bracha, let's say a fruit in the case of fruit for dessert where it required a new bracha, or a candy dessert time and you had candy which is not covered by the bracha on bread, so you made a shakal on the candy, and now you go across the street, let's say you were planning it even, there's a Shever Brachas across the street, so you start, you're invited to come for dessert, help make the minyan. So you started in your house, you ate your meal in your house, and you made a shahakol during the meal on candy, you know, towards the end of your meal, and now you're going across the street. So any foods that are, you know, bread foods or any foods that are considered part of the meal, of course you don't have to make a new bracha there because your bracha is still valid. Shinui makom is not a problem because you're eating bread. But what about the candy? Candy is the type of thing where it's bread of fashas food. Of course, candy, normally you do need it. Shinui makom normally breaks your bracha. But here the candy was in the middle of a bread meal. The shahakal was in the middle of a bread meal. So then you don't have to make a new shahakal either. Because the shahakal is in the middle of a bread meal, so it becomes tuffel to the suda. What if it was cake and milk? Let's say you ate cake here, and you drank milk, and then you went across the street without making a bracha achrona. We told you from Abayashim and others, you shouldn't do that. Better make a bracha achrona first so that you don't run into a suffix. But you didn't. And you went across the street to eat some cake over there to help, you know, be part of the minyan for the shever brachas. So you're going to eat some cake. You didn't eat bread. You ate cake at home. And then you would go and you ate cake at home, took a drink of milk at home, and then you go across the street to be part of that Sheva Brachas, and you want to eat some more cake and drink some more whatever drink it is. So that's Machlokas Poskim ready. That is not so pashit. Again, the Gabi the cake, we said, B'di'evid, don't make, eat without, B'di'evid, you're there already, don't make a new bracha rishon on the cake, right? That's what we said, because suffix. What about the drink, though? Is the drink tuffle to the cake? So a number of Rechonim say no. It's tuffle to bread, but it's not tuffle to the cake. This is the psak of the Zosa Bracha brings this from the Ksosa Shulchan and from Abel Yashiv, that you would have to make a new bracha, even if you continue drinking the same type of drink. You had some soda in your house and you planned on going over there having more soda, but you'd have to make a new bracha on the soda. Not on the cake, you would not make a bracha, and the soda, you would make a bracha.
What's the study that, if I understand you correctly, the reason why by the Birkos Hamazon you wouldn't is because the Birkos Hamazon is going to pater on the shahak, the Rain of Osh.
No, that's not the reason. It's because the drink is tofel to your seuda, not just the gabi, but because the you're right. The drink is it's considered a chelik of a seuda, so the brachas on the seuda are still valid. But here it's not a seuda; you're just eating cake.
But the seudas prevail.
Well, yeah, but that's definitely the makom at the end.
I'm saying that, and that's why the brayden and poshus end there. Ends up in
the
and wherever you do it.
I'm not following. He's saying that something which is part of a bread meal is considered tuffle to the bread, even though it's not covered by the bracha rishona. But legabi, yes, legabi the benching, it's tuffle. It's considered a chelik l'suda, and it's tuffle legabi the benching. So it doesn't. So it's considered, even though it inherently doesn't require bracha achrona b'makoma. But now the bracha achrona is simply the benching. It's part of the suda. But here the drink is not tuffle to the cake. I'm eating cake and drinking milk. One is not tuffle to the other. Not even legabi bracha achrona, and not legabi the sham suda. Okay, so that covers what kind of foods. Now, what is a shini makom? How much of a shini makom is considered a shini makom? So, I've been giving the extreme case that you go across the street into your friend's house. That's for sure a shini makom. But pashtus, when you learn the Mishnah Berurah, even if you just leave your house and go to the street in front of your house, even like the case I gave before, your wife called you, she's in the street, she came with the car, has groceries in the car, she asked you, could you please come out and help unload the car. And so your car's in the street, let's say. You walk off your property into the street. Your house is right there. You're going right back in. You're going to be out for a time. Maybe you have just one thing. She says, I have one bag in the car, but it's a little too heavy for me. Could you come? Or could you come take the baby? Whatever it is. And you're just going to go right out. You're going to be back in within 30 seconds or 60 seconds. You're going to be back in. Pashas, according to the Mishnah Berurah, you left your house. You went into the street. Your bracha is over. If you were eating Bari Nefashas foods, foods that are subject to the dinim of shini makom, it's considered shini makom. You need a new bracha rishona. Now there is a daya in achrona that's scholar can say if you just went out mamish really quickly, then it doesn't apply. But the Mishnah Berurah is so same, not like that. And that seems to be the ikar halacha. Could you try to avoid it? Yeah, if you could avoid it. But a pashas according to the Mishnah Berurah, you certainly would not be able to go back into your house and just continue eating without a new bracha. Now, but there's one more possible condition or stipulation, and that is, what if you could see your original location? Meaning, let's say you walk out of your house, but you could see not just the house, but you could see through the window into the room you were eating. You were eating in the dining room, right? Which has near the end of the house, by the front of the house. And when you walk outside, you can still see through the window into your house, into the dining room. Does that make a difference? So that's a shaila in the poskim. If yachal liros makom harishon, does that help or does that not help? The Mishnah Berurah is mashman a couple. It's certainly in Kufayin Ches and Sivkat and Lamites that it doesn't help. Earlier in the siman, the Mishnah Berurah is a little bit misubik about it, if that helps or not. So that is a case that one should definitely try to avoid. Which means, if you do have to go out and help, help your wife with groceries or whatever the case is, you do have to go out of your house into the street, and you come back in, right back in. So, and you're eating meat and potatoes, meat and French fries and salad and drinking, but everything was just Bari Nefashas foods. The foods you ate are all subject to the Dinah Shem Akum. You went out of your house to the street, so make sure to walk around to a place where you can't see the dining room. Walk off to the side a little bit till you can't see into the window. You can't walk a little bit further away, or walk off to the side to avoid the shaila, because kol zman you could see makom harishon, meaning the room in which you were eating. So there's a suffix. Maybe it's not shini makom, but it's not enough of a suffix to go back in comfortably and sit down and just eat without more brachas. So bedavka make the shinu into a real shinu. Once you had to go out already, so make it into a full-fledged shinu makom l'chala poskim and go to a place where you can't see makom harishon, and then go back inside and make new brachas. No, you don't. So see that attachment. Shinu makom doesn't affect bracha achrona though. When you eventually make a bracha achrona at the end, it goes back in everything. That's right. I should be clear before. Shinui makom, according to the Ramah, Shinui Makom is not, or Brach Achron, I should say, is not Tali on Shinui Makom. Happens to be which foods Shinui Makom applies to, that's Tali on the Din and Brach Achron. But the Brach Achron is not Tali on Shinui Makom. So even if you were Mishana Makom, and you made a full-fledged Shinui Makom, but it doesn't require you to make a Brach Achron. The cake, we gave you the Eitzim to make a Brach Achron to avoid a Safek. Right? But in this case, you went out. So if you just walk to a place where you can't see your original makom, it's not a safek. But the Mishnah Berurah says it's not a safek. You're vaday chayiv to make new bracha rishonim.
What do you actually mean by go? To go out of your property or to go out of your open? Let's say that your house is surrounded by a yard, and you go out of your house.
Okay. So.
You have to go to the driveway to help on
the okay.
And it's not cool.
Okay. Now what?
It's not covered. It doesn't have any room.
Okay. So according to many posts that I quoted from Mezuzah Brachah, according to Rosh Lamazan Arbach, and I believe also he brings Rabbi Yashiv on this, that let me just look for a second to get my sure get the names right. Sorry. Oh, here. Okay, I didn't write down. But according to any posting that he quotes, because as the bracha quotes, once you leave your house, even if you go into your own, you're on your own property, you're in your own backyard, if it's not enclosed by a fence, if it's an unenclosed backyard, Shinui Makom. That's called Shinui Makom. Certainly if you go out into the front, you're in your driveway, or you're on your front lawn, but you're not enclosed by a fence, there's not Muka Mechitzas, that's a Shinui Makom. So it doesn't make a difference that it's your property. Now I did hear from Rav Shmuel first. He told me that Rav Moshe held differently. That Rav Moshe held at least legabe a backyard, that even if it's not enclosed by a fence, as long as it's your backyard, then that's not called going out totally. It's just called mecheder lecheder. We'll have to say we didn't yet say the law is mecheder lecheder. We'll get it in a minute. But it's not a full blown shinui makom. As long as it's your own backyard. Because he said, because it's the derech. People do that. They eat. They go out to the back. They come in and out. So it's like going from room to room. It's not more serious than that. And we'll say in a moment what the laws are from the halachas are from room to room. But even according to them, Mistam, if you go out into the front, where it's not so much the derech, the front is not. You know, the front you're more out. You're exposed already, right? You went out the front to like I said, to go to your car, to help, or somebody wants to speak to you outside, whatever. That's even if it's your property, your driveway. I would be Mishara, even Rav Moshe would say that that's a Shinui Makom because that's not the derech. A backyard we use a little bit more like another room of the house and we eat there. People have a grill out there. People might have a picnic bench out there. The front, it's usually not that way. At least in our, you know, in our living circumstances.
Would it matter if there were like an awning and you went outside the front door but there was an awning like...
So some posts can say when it comes to a merpeses, like a porch, if it's covered, yes, then it's like just another room. But if it's not covered, many say, then you're like us. So if it's an awning in the front, but according to the majority of poskim, it's not muka mechitzas. I don't believe the awning will make any difference. That's called that you went to the street. The same as going to the street. Okay, so leave with that. Now, yes. Okay, so let's talk about cheder l'cheder, and we'll get to that. I'll get it. Good that you mentioned that. I will say it in a minute. So just want to first go over cheder l'cheder, so we have all the background. If you're within your house and you go from one room to another, so there, l'chadchila you shouldn't do it. But b'di'eved, we will not consider that a shinui makom. And because that's a shy, that's a suffix, and that we do not consider b'di'eved shinui makom. And even l'chadchila, if, number one, either you could see the makom, like you're in one room, and I could see the other room. From the room where I made the bracha, I could see the other room, then it's mutter even l'chadchila. And the way poskim say, whether you're going to that other place to continue eating, or whether you're going to that place just to, let's say you go to the kitchen to bring back food, you're not continuing eating there. But if you could see the other room from the room where you made the bracha, it's not going to be a shinui makom, even l'chadchila. Or if you had das, when you made the bracha, you intended, you had in mind that you're going to go, or that you may go to the other room, and you had in mind that the bracha should be valid even if you go to another room. When it comes to a shinui makom of going outside or going to your friend's house out, you know, across the street, das is not going to help. It doesn't make a difference that it does. Das only helped, we said before, by benching. It helps to allow you to go before benching. But it doesn't help to preserve your bracha rishon. If you're eating fish and potatoes, or meat and potatoes, and you have in mind when I made the shahako that I'm going to go across the street to my friend's house, doesn't make a difference. When you get to your friend's house, you want to eat there, you need a new bracha rishona. Or even if you want to come back to your original house, you need a new bracha rishona. Das doesn't help when you go mebayis lebayis, or mebayis lechatzer, mebayis lechutz. But from cheder lecheder, das does help. And you could go even lechatchila. If I had, as long as I had das, it helps. And not only that, but even if I didn't have specific das, but I always do that. Whenever I eat the meal, even if the meal is, you know, I eat in the dining room, and I'm always going back to the kitchen, to the refrigerator, to get something else, or to, you know, to bring back my plate, and then eat, and then come back and eat my dessert or whatever. It's the derech. It's common. It's common that I walk between this room and this room while I'm eating. Then even it's mutter even lechatchila. So again, so mecheder lecheder is mutter lechatchila if, number one, either you could see the room, the other room from this room where you made the bracha, or you had in mind when you made the bracha in this room to be able to, that you're going to go to another room, whether to eat or not to eat, or you didn't have in mind, but it's common, it's commonly done that you go from room to room while eating, so then you could do it even lechatchila. But if you can't see the other room from this room and you did not have das and it's not common, then it will be not, then it's not mutl lechatchila, it's not mutl lechatchila, but if you did it, but the Evid, it will not be shin. Let's say you have to go to the washroom, you have to go to the bathroom, and you can't see your place from there, and you didn't have das, and you don't always do it in the middle of a meal. It's not, it's in the middle of eating, it's, you know, unusual. But you went to the bathroom, you come back, you do not have to make a new bracha. You continue the same shahakal, the same bar priyadama as you had, you do not make a new bracha. Now, So before I go to some of the details now, the case of a sukkah. So if your sukkah is in your backyard, right? So if it's an enclosed yard, then l'kuli ama, you don't make another bracha, because it's an enclosed yard. Everyone agrees, or let's just use the word, everyone agrees that it's considered mecheder lecheder. An enclosed yard is not, so the sukkah as well, the sukkah in the enclosed yard, even though it's a different structure, but it's considered mecheder lecheder. Or if the sukkah is mamish adjacent to your house, even if it's not in an enclosed yard, but it's mamish up against your house, then that's considered still mecheder lecheder, and you would not have to make another bracha. And if you had in mind lechatchila, then you don't even then it's, if you had in mind, it's even mutl lechatchila. If the sukkah is not right up against your house, but it's in your backyard, not against your house, and your backyard is not enclosed, then it'll be the machlokas between, let's call it Rosh Shlomo Zalman, who would say not to make another bracha. Rosh Shlomo Zalman, who would say yes to make another bracha because your yard is not enclosed, and Rav Moshe would say not to make another bracha. And if the sukkah is bechalal out, let's say the sukkah is out in the front somewhere, it's not against your house and it's not in your yard at all, then for sure it would be. Then for sure that would be considered like that would be worse than cheder lecheder. That would be already like bayis labayis. If it's not on your property and not against your house and not on your property, then that would be going, that would be like going bayis labayis. So Hol Chidrachim, travelers have their whole set of rules, and we're going to talk about that. I don't know if we get to it tonight, but we'll talk about that.
Well, there's something that you usually go back and back.
Right, but that only helps me cheder lecheder. So I'm saying the last case I'm giving where the sukkah is not on your property, it's off your property. You have to go, you know, so then it doesn't help. I mean, as soon as you walk out into the street, really.
So you eat your front lawn by a few feet.
Okay, but if your front lawn, I'm assuming that your front lawn is considered already, you know, it's like going out into the street. Certainly if it's not mukaf, then it is like Rav Shlomo Zalman and others. But as I said before, I would venture to say, I didn't clarify this exactly at first, but I venture to say even like Rav Moshe Mestama, the front lawn, because he emphasized when the idea that you, it's common, you go back and forth. Now, maybe on Sukkot, it's more common, but so I don't know. I'm not sure what Rav Moshe would say, but like Rav Shlomo Zalman, if it's in your front and it's not in the surrounded area, then it would be considered ready shi makom.
If it's in the front, but there's like a foot that's not exposed, like 2 feet in front of your door, whatever. It's not after the end of your roof. It's, a few feet out.
So like I said, if it's not adjacent to your house and it's not in a closed area, then
I'm just asking, what is adjacent?
Adjacent means it's up against your house. Up against your house, yeah. Yeah.
What is the whole reason behind Shinamon? What's the reason that...
Because normally when you eat, you're considered to have a kvias. Your eating has a kvias in one place, and if you change that place in a significant enough manner, then
it's tied to the place.
Well, the bracha, at least the bracha, yes, yes. That's why we'll see a traveler is a different story, because he never has a kvias to begin with. Now, within this din, we're not going to get to all the travel tonight, but hopefully we'll get to it next time. Within this din of mecheder lecheder, the lashon that's used is tachas gag echod, under the same roof. So certainly if you're in a building and you go from one room to the other, let's say you're in a school, whatever the school, but the shul building, you go from one room to the other, that's still cheder cheder, even from one floor to the other floor, that's all mecheder cheder, where again, b'di'evit, you would never make another bracha, and even lechatchila, it's mutter if you had a mind. But some say, some of the Gedolei Apostles can say, Rabbi Yashim Shalom Zalman quoted by Bezos HaBracha, and others, Rabbi Vadna quotes them as well, if it's somebody else's reshus. Like, let's say you're in an apartment building, and you leave your apartment, you go to your friend's apartment, even on the same floor, and it's certainly tachas gag echad, but it's somebody else's reshus, then that's considered bayis acher. Even though it's tachas gag echad. And structurally, if you own the whole place and you occupy both apartments, it would be cheder lecheder. But since it's somebody else's reshus, somebody else's bayis, then these gedolim said that that's considered already mi bayis labayis, and it's for, and it is a shini makom. There are chalkim. I saw Avzash Baruch in Rav Chaim Knievsky was chalik, and I saw, I believe, in Rabbi Forrest Sefer, he says differently. But this is the psak of Rabbi Yashar, Rav Shlomo Zalman, I think Rav Scheinberg as well, that once it's a totally different bailus, then it's considered mibayis labayis, even if it's under gag echad. So then the question would be, well, let's say it's a hotel, and you go from, you rented a room, and he rented a room. So there, it's that mamish, you know, in a hotel, you rent the rights to the room for 24 hours, but theoretically they could even switch you if they wanted to. So there's a little bit more misupik, a little bit more of a suffix that perhaps that's not so much. If it's in a hospital where there's no concept really of having rights to a room and they switch patient rounds all the time. So there for sure we would consider it to be one bailus, we should consider cheder lecheder. I saw the Sefer Vishari Bracha discusses these shailas about the hotel or what about a dormitory. So these would be shailas. At what point do we consider it to be different bailus? But at least in the case of apartment to apartment would be a case of bias to bias according to the Gedolim that I mentioned. And there are those that say even if you just walk into the corridor or the stairwell or the common area, you went from your private apartment into a common area, there are those that say, I think he brings that, it says Shlomazam and Rabbi Yashar. Rabbi Yashar said even that's a Shini Makom, and Shlomazam said no. So these things you should try to avoid. Meaning to say, it's at least cheder lecheder, right? It's at least cheder lecheder, but it could be it's not worse. It could be it's not more than cheder lecheder. So these types of things, Avadi should try to avoid, not to get into a suffix. Don't just go into the, try not, let's say you're eating in your apartment, you live in an apartment building, and maybe someone comes to the door, and you want to speak with him privately, so invite him into your house, rather than going out into the hall to speak with him. Even if you let him come to you, it's nicer anyway, but most of the time, invite him into your house, speak to him in your house, so that you don't run into the shaila just want to make one more thing, just so we shouldn't get confused. If you're eating with other people, we'll get back, but just, and you leave them behind, and you come back, and at least one person is still there, still eating, didn't make a brachrona, then there's no shini makom. Then you don't have to worry about shini makom. It's only if you're eating alone or if everybody else also finished. Okay, we'll come back to this next time, and we'll try to summarize what we said today, hopefully, and there's some more, we'll have to talk about Holchei Drachim and some other details. Thanks. So far, I don't know.